au top de sa folle.
Ah, il était là, fallait le filmer. Il dansait, il
servait.
Côté
la phase des gendarmes.
Ouais, c'est vrai,
les phases des gendarmes.
Les deux motards, là.
Ah ouais, là, quand même. Quand on s'est fait plaquer par les motards, Mike a tout.
Où ça?
À Porte Bellila.
Qu'est-ce qu'il nous a fait?
Dans le gros BM, là. Le M3 façon 535i.
Ah ouais.
Un avion, il y a au moins 100 boutons dans le truc. Son à fond.
Ah ouais.
J'ai pas aimé les gendarmes. Avec ma capuche.
Une voiture volée.
Une plaque direct, immatriculé Luxembourg et tout, truc de ouf. Et tu vois, je m'appelle Momo, hein, le refrain. Après, le café vient me voir et tout, il nous sort tout ça. Le café vient me voir, il me dit, il s'appelle comment lui? Je dis, bah, il s'appelle Momo. C'est pour me branler, tu vois. Ouais, mais comment ça, Momo? Bah, Mohamed. Après, tu sais, je lui dis son nom, tout ça. Après, pareil, il dit le mien.
Then there was another sea change, which was I had fell in love with the music of Magma.
Right.
And I really wanted to work on longer composed forms that were very complex, and I wanted to go back to writing because I just felt like composition was the next vista for me.
Were you listening to Magma when Gods of Chaos was conceived?
I think I was.
Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
But I don't think they were
as central.
Magma's a tough nut to crack. There's things about it that I think turn people off stylistically vis-a-vis the vocals.
Right.
And some of the sort of more fusion-y sort of one-chord jamming.
Right.
I'm sure you have no problem with that.
I mean, yeah, I've never really gotten that into Magma.
It's a tough nut.
Although, I do like Christian Vander's drumming in like other, especially in other contexts.
I think that they have a few key works, and then a lot of it is not. I can see why people wouldn't be into it.
Yeah.
It's not like all of their albums are good, and I recommend them. A lot of music is this way with me, where literally one aspect of it will hit me super hard, and then everyone's going like, are you serious? This band? Like, what are you talking about? And Magma was really that thing where I almost had to proselytize about it, because it wasn't like I could just hand you any Magma record,
right. And
you'd be blown away. Dude, this version of Cantarcos on Magma Live is insane. But don't listen to the rest of the record, by all means, you know, or whatever. I was really obsessed with De Futura, which was this 20-minute long piece by the bass player Janik Top. And I figured that if I was going to write a 20-minute long notated piece, it would really behoove me to analyze a 20-minute long notated piece. So we set out. I put together a new lineup in 2001 that was focused on people who were a little more prog in their orientation. I think I first met Alex Perkalup, who's a real character. He played a fretless precision bass, which appealed to me greatly, and he was a super Magma head. I think that's why we kind of hit it off, because he was psyched that somebody was so into Magma. So I basically was like, well, we should try to do some cool shit like this. Jonathan Hischke had been playing with Chuck Valzone, my old bandmate.
Yeah.
And there was one hilariously decisive factor where I decided that Jonathan Hischke should be in my band. I think they were playing together in a group called Sorry. Might have been called Sorry at that point.
Okay.
Chuck Valzone and some other people. And it was sort of, you know, like a skin graft type noise rock band.
Yeah, vaguely sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't even know. They might have just recorded a few things, but not really, you know, they didn't really have a profile. In between songs, somebody was doing something, and Stahl, Jonathan Hischke, played the bass line of Tom Sawyer with the sort of effects pedals. He had it basically like all set up and ready to go, and I just, for some reason, I just thought, yeah, that's the guy. Let's use this Geddy Lee guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing was, Jonathan was also a bass player, but I really needed... once it started going, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know if two bass players... I like that in theory.
Right.
But in sound, there's not enough, like, higher register information for me.
Okay.
So I sort of cajoled Jonathan Hischke into stringing his bass with guitar strings.
Okay.
Really, Jonathan on those records is playing the guitar on a bass.
Interesting.
Yes. And some
Bill Orcutt kind of move.
Yes, and he was never that crazy about it. He actually was... Jonathan Hischke, poor Jonathan, there were many times in that band where he's like, dude, why are you making me do all this stuff? I just want to be a bass player.
Right.
Like, to Jonathan, like, his thing is jumping up and down and playing, like, an open A string. Like, that's right. What he really wants to do. And, he's good at that. But I was like, well... Look, man, I was a real hard ass. I was like, look, if you're going to be in the Flying Luttenbachers, you're not a bass player. You're a fucking musician or some bullshit like right. that. Like, I sat him down and gave him this hard line of like, look, man, you're going to play the notes I give you because that's what needs to be played right. or some really insane shit like that. And he kind of swallowed and was like, okay.
Well, and yeah. many times it's like, it's not about, what you play. It's about who you are, you know, so.
Well, that was the thing. I picked these guys because I thought they had the right sensibility and we got along pretty good. And I was very domineering and I had a vision and I wanted it to be done.
Yeah.
That said, I think that for the first year of the band in 2001, I think we weren't a very good sounding band. We didn't have very good equipment. We were kind of playing beyond our technical levels.
And that era of the Luttenbachers is a little more of a blind spot for me, too, as far as, like, listening.
I think that we finally got good towards the end in 2002, but we recorded the album too early.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pieced together. My production skills weren't exactly at their apex at that point. I was really ambitious. There's a lot of overdubs and fixes on that record. I think basically Alex's bass tracks were done the way they were done, and the drums for the most part were done the way they were tracked. A lot of Jonathan's stuff was edited or re-recorded or overdubbed, and I even overdubbed some of his parts just mm-hmm. because it was easier to just do it. Right. Nothing against him. I mean, the guy can play, he's a player, he can play, but... I just needed that record to turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. And it was kind of like my vision. So I just took charge of it. And I was doing it all myself on my PC anyway. So
right.
The first version wasn't... I was so fried at that point. I didn't really master it well. It's very shrill. Yeah. Very irritating. I later got a chance to remaster it. And it's light years better. I did that maybe about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's much better. But at that point, we started working with this New Jersey label called Trouble Man Unlimited, which
The way the beat up the show. I initially am going to land in Italy. Come to myself, since I'm having Italy again. My memory is really a baby. Now I'm gonna let you amuse yourself. Thank you.
Station, end and change, just as I know. attention and a change, just as I know. Open the gates for them, Syria, serious.
I'm here.